We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
The thriving business of college sports, whenever the topic turns to it, there's one guy whose opinion I always like seeking out, whether I check him out on Channel 6, which is his pet project, whether I check him out because he is on SportsCenter or because I'm following him on Twitter. There's always something interesting happening with one of the most interesting voices in sports, Spencer Hall, nice enough to join Damon and Ratto here on 95.7 The Game. And Spencer, we are watching the Pac-12 sort of disintegrate in real time in a changing landscape of college athletics that is moving at the speed of light. Hi, how are you?
Hey, man, I'm doing better than the Pac-12.
I mean, it's one thing to lose USC and UCLA, but then when you say it out loud like this, the Pac-12 just lost the entire footprint of the city of Los Angeles. It feels even bigger than just those two schools, doesn't it?
I mean, yes and no, because I think part of my reaction, they said, wow, the Pac-12 is falling apart. You sort of do the, oh no, really? They seem so solid. They seem so well managed. They seem so together, the Pac-12. It is surprising and not surprising at the same time, especially losing the whole LA footprint. We covered this on the podcast, the shutdown full cast that we do every week, but it's hilarious to me. Like, USC seems like an obvious pull if you were going to raid the Pac-12, and that they were going to go at the behest of some serious TV money pouring in from Fox. But UCLA just feels like a corporate decision. And by corporate, I mean somebody saw that there was another team in LA and said, no, we're getting the whole market. And somebody's like, yeah, but that's UCLA. And they're like, what is UCLA? Get them. Whatever they are, get them. Bring them to me. So that's very much what this feels like. It's pushed by TV. And more than anything, I think that is the defining influence on how we're arranging the sport these days. Not programs, not conferences, but brands that you can attach to TV and or streaming money.
Is this move bigger in terms of affecting the status quo in the Big Ten and SEC than the SEC getting Texas and Oklahoma?
I think that the SEC getting Texas and Oklahoma is in large part what caused this, because by making that sort of expansion and picking up the two cardinal members of a conference built around them, like the cornerstones of a conference, the Big 12 existed pretty much not just to solder together the old Southwest Conference and Big 8. It existed to satisfy the whims of Texas and Oklahoma, and in that order. That move, this is a mirror of that move, because these are, like Texas and Oklahoma, rival programs that cover combined a big market and a big history, right? Oklahoma might not have the kind of population that you're looking at when you talk about pulling from the entire state of Texas, but it's a default Texas school with a much better history overall. This is a move where you pull USC, which doesn't have as many sort of living alumni as, say, UCLA, but has way more success. And then you pull UCLA, which I think most people on the East Coast don't appreciate what a monster UCLA is in every single area, including academics and impact, than football. In fact, football might be the part of UCLA's life that is most disappointing to them. When you consider everything else, in terms of academic reputation, size, everything, football is really the biggest disappointment for that school. So I think it's a mirror of that move. It's one of the things that precipitated that, because Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, famously reading up on the Premier League a couple of years ago, really understood, I think, that he wanted to create something akin to a Champions League or a Super League. Well, this is the Big Ten's natural move towards that.
Spencer Hall joining us here on 95.7 The Game. So if we're up to you, Spencer, to now, you know, apply the Band-Aid to fix the Pac-12, are you getting aggressive and looking to, you know, either go raiding the Big 12 before the Big 12 raids you, or is there an ACC partnership that you think could be the salve that's required to end this?
I don't think that – it's hard to say that the Pac-12 could be fixed, because I think you're taking the good parts out of a broken thing. The Pac-12 was stuck in a media deal negotiated by previous Commissioner Larry Scott, who, in promising to take the team into – or take the conference into the 21st century, put them in a TV deal that still had them well behind the Big Ten and the SEC and on par with – someone like the ACC. The ACC is now, of course, I think, in the worst shape of any conference that still mostly has form and hasn't been completely raided, because the ACC is still making far less money, and this is an arms race. I don't think there's any fixing the Pac-12. I think you can make an interesting conference out of what you have left and inviting certain other members on board. But you're going to lose your marquee schools, and I think the Big 12 is probably going to make a more appealing proposition cash-wise than the Pac-12 will be able to do. That may sound harsh, but I don't see a way out where it is not a diminished and significantly different league, especially now that you've taken away USC, who I think historically is the most successful program in that conference.
What happens to Oregon? Because that's the most interesting team that's left. They have financial throw weight. They have football success. They have a modicum of basketball success. And it seems like they have nowhere to go but the Mountain West.
Well, they could go. I think they could make a deal with perhaps the Big 12. If they do go to the Mountain West, and I want you to consider this. For a long time, the ACC functioned solely as the whooping crew for state. For about 20 years, that was it. It was Florida State and all of the various jabronis that they played during the regular season. And then Florida State would enter the postseason and have some sort of epic conflict with a power in the sport. And they kind of maintained their, you know, high winning percentage and, you know, paced themselves by playing in a fairly weak conference. I think there is a scenario where you can take the remnants of the Pac-12, use Oregon as the major player there, because it's not like Nike's money is going to, you know, it's not like their checks won't clear for a while. I think their credit's good for at least the next 10 to 20 years, no matter what happens to Phil Knight. If Oregon manages to do that with whatever they scrape together out of, say, a Mountain West or reconstitute a Pac-12, whatever, I think there's always a spot for very small pond with a very big fish that manages to just sort of, you know, reduce your national schedule down to one or two games a year. That used to be the way we built superpowers. You would have one team in a conference that fed off of everyone else, took all of the recruits, and then at the end of the year managed to play one or two very important scrimmages against other national powers. I think that is a way that Oregon can keep its profile and status. I just think it's going to require some finesse and luck.
Since, you know, tradition is no longer a factor here, let me ask the long-term 20 years from now question, which is, what would prevent the mega SEC or the mega Big Ten from basically culling some of its current members who are sort of weaker in terms of earning power? Is that the next step down the road? And by down the road, I mean 10, 15 years from now.
It might be sooner than that, especially for conferences like the Big 12, where they expanded and took, you know, a Cincinnati or a smaller market team, and then suddenly other parties came on board who might be sandwiched between the Big 12 and the mega conference. If you're in that, there's real incentive to take an underperforming member, look at them and say, hey, can we buy you out? Can we push you? That might really happen. So I think you might get some shuffling, or at least very, very insistent suggestions that somebody leave a conference. That is rarer than expansion, by the way. There are very few conferences that have booted people out for underperformance. The last one I can remember is when the Big East booted Temple. And they booted Temple for free riding. They booted Temple for, you guys have to at least try in football, and kicked them out. So I think that's something that is probably inevitable, and I think sooner than the 15 to 20 year mark.
Look, I'm a Big Ten honk. I went to Indiana, which I understand is a football doormat, but Rutgers in Nebraska, I wish that they could be replaced by just the USC and the UCLA move. Neither really belong in the conference. Notre Dame does. Do you think, Spencer, and we'll wrap up with this, that Notre Dame can continue to afford its independence, or are they going to have to become part of the system too?
They will get outpaced and have to become part of the system one way or another. And by outpaced, I mean everyone's going to make more money than them. So if everyone is eventually going to make more money than them, and everyone's going to go to these division-free mega schedules where you have, you know, three permanent rivals or five permanent rivals, however you want to do it, and everyone else rotates. If that's the case, then you're going to start to get squeezed out of schedules. It'll be very, very hard to keep your consistent rotation that you have right now, where Notre Dame gets to cherry pick one big out-of-conference game with their traditional rivals, you know, their Stanfords and their USCs and their Michigans. Pretty soon, everybody's dance card is going to get real full. So Notre Dame's going to have to play ball one way or another. The good thing for them is that they can command a gargantuan price in doing so and probably negotiate some perks along the way. They're in a bell-of-the-ball situation at the moment. So it is simultaneously a pressured situation, but one where I think they can make a lot of hay.
I mean, that or just play Temple and the service academies and see where that gets you going forward. Spencer, I buried the lead of this interview. Last night you said you ate at a Mexican restaurant that had such frequency by the Velvet Foghorn himself, Michael McDonald. They hung a portrait of Michael McDonald in the restaurant. I must know, what's better, the portrait or the dinner that you had?
Pueblo Real, the dinner. Frankly, the portrait's fine, but Pueblo Real in Franklin, Tennessee, also where, among other luminaries of the 1980s musical world, you can find Vince Neil, who parked his Ferrari there the other day, in beautiful Franklin, Tennessee. Yes, Michael McDonald is such a regular at this place and has consumed so many enchiladas and tortillas at Pueblo Real that they have put up a picture of the man himself.
That's a tribute. I mean, your beard should be immortalized in there, too. You just did an awful lot of heavy lifting for them on the West Coast. Spencer, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate your time.
Hey, I'm always here to represent the fine Mexican restaurants of Middle Tennessee on Bay Area Radio.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series.
Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.